Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
I'm brilliant, Alan. Welcome to the big time, bro.
Yeah, we are full on big time. I don't know if anyone's seen our Instagram just yet, but Matty Hill has brought some of his fancy podcasting equipment. This might be the best we've ever sounded.
Yeah.
I hope.
And what I noticed immediately, speed of setup compared to Kyle Herbertson.
Yeah, I do love that. Matty got it set up very quick, and Kyle put about 2 hours in before the podcast went live on Friday Night Lights.
Correct.
And I just assuming they still had audio issues.
We can only assume so.
They had issues with Matty's MIDI watch, but that was unrelated to any of their equipment.
No, joke writing, tick.
We're at our Airbnb. We're two rounds into the eruption. We've just come back from a wonderful steak dinner. What'd you get?
I had to go for the 800 gram medium rare rump, just on point, and obviously a bottle of wine.
And a bottle of wine, 100%. You and I might have split the bottle, and I might have got my own individual 800 gram rump. And we're feeling pretty spicy.
We are. We're ready to go.
Feeling pretty spicy. We've got a full house here, though. We've got Jono, we've got Maddie, we've got Gareth, and then there's a tall volleyball guy.
Adonis, athlete. That's hanging out with us chums.
We're just trying to get him drunk enough that he forgets that he's got a scroll in the fridge so that we can eat it. We're just going to do a bit of a recap. Well, not a recap, but an update of where we're at now, just because we feel like it. For the eruption, we'll get a couple of the boys involved, get some stories hopefully, and then spotlight, not light, and we'll call it a day, right?
Cornhole is calling us.
Cornhole is calling us. So where should we start? Where are we at?
Oh, well, let's go down to the MJ15, surely.
Surely we should. I must admit, we do have a small house bet involved with MJ15, do we not?
We do. We try to draw a line, six blokes in the house, and how many will the children beat?
Yeah, there's one child in it, Joe Paul, and he is actually exceptional at this golf. We all set it at different lines. I thought that he would take down four people in our households. I think the majority went with three.
Yeah, I went with five because I think you asked me after round one, or maybe you didn't.
We have three MPO players, Matt Hill as well, in our household, essentially MPO. MPO 0.5, I guess.
Yes.
But we still had faith in the kid. Round one, I was looking pretty tasty. But round two, somehow he's tied with me. And that's not a good place to be if you want to beat a lot of players. So what? He's got two people covered, tied with me, and three of us are beating him. Not so good. But he's still out on island himself. He's still playing a good round. He's still 11 or something. Plus 17 overall. Not bad golf.
Not bad. Still over 900 event. But yeah, obviously today in the still conditions, he could not capitalize.
Nah, couldn't get it done. It was windy as fuck, but that's fine. Well, the morning wasn't too bad. So B pool, we actually did, we'll talk about the ratings real quick before we get too much into him. So round one, the ratings between B pool and A pool were very similar. Within a stroke, essentially. And hole 17, which is the only difference on the layout, plays what we would say half a stroke.
Three quarters.
Maybe one and a quarter if we're talking to Kalen. Easier. It was within half a stroke. So I think the rating's working out really well. So I can only assume that today, when they were wildly different, how many strokes different? Three? Four?
Yeah, a few, surely.
Wildly different. It just has to reflect the extreme weather conditions that we played in. The wind picked up aggressively. And none of those B-pool bitches really had to deal with what we had to deal with. So don't feel good about yourselves.
Nah, they had a tailwind on every hole.
Every hole.
And their baskets got bigger on every putt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So the ratings are accurate. If you're playing the B-pool, you suck. If you're beating me, then take it back. Like 4-5 strokes minimum.
Yeah. And if you're beating me, take it back. 8,
10,
10 12, 14 strokes minimum.
All right, we'll get back to the action. FA4. Who did we call in FA4?
We didn't know anyone.
Nah, that's a good point. So Taylor Clark. Taylor Clark's getting it done, but it's close. One ahead. We'll just say that she gets done and Lily Rima wins.
Yep. She'll have an 8-stroke swing. Like Michaela will get leapfrogged.
So definitely.
That's what'll happen.
All right, MA4, Wayne Govan. He took it pretty fucking personally that we didn't give him a phone call on the ride-up. He must have, because he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And that chip is getting it done. He is 1 stroke ahead of, who's that guy? Keithy Matz and Tobias Webber. But I think he was round one leader.
Joey Buckets is here.
Joey Buckets is here. They're fucking Joey Buckets up. I don't know what he's doing at MA4. Most improved player on the MPO tour. And he's getting the MA4 action. But nothing. Nothing can be done between him for Wayne Govan.
No, look, it's MA4, and one thing we know about MA4 is the guy leading after round two, you just can't catch him.
Can't catch him.
Just win. MA4. He will definitely top five, and he will most likely win.
MA4, wire to wire, is like a lock bet. We got Jono here. He's got his headphones on. He's basically a local. Who are you looking at the MA4 that you think can somehow take down our man, Wayne Govan, who, as we know, could not possibly lose it from here as...
It's clear.
As it's clear.
I'll tell you what, my bets are going on Keith Matz. I reckon Keith is a bit of a dark horse. He doesn't play too frequently because he's got work-away commitments. But making some moves up there, Keithy, I reckon he's going to claw it back.
Yeah, he is. He's the mastermind behind the MA Fun.
Sick.
Which I'm not having as much fun on that as I might have thought. I've found a nice little groove where I'm not scoring well, but also not hitting any of the fun targets. Not that many OBs, not that many tree hits, just a lot of throwing.
Did you have your double espresso on hole one today?
I did. I did manage to get a shot of double espresso in. Which I believe it says sneak a drink, and I think what he means by that is the coffee.
Yes.
And I did have a double shot of espresso this morning, so I did tick that off. Perfect. So yeah, that's one on the board for me.
Definitely helped me out today as well.
One thing I'm looking forward to in the MA Fun though, a little tangent here, is Sledger Random, and I've been really wanting to do it. I got to find it. I got to find the right random and the right sledge, but I've only got one day to do it, so.
Well, I have a right sledge right now. So what happened after your double espresso shot on your hole number one, Alan?
We might get to that. maybe when we get to MA1, we might touch on.
I have a sledge right now with how these two people say espresso.
Espresso?
Is there an X in everything that the two of you just said?
Yeah, because we...
espresso.
No. We are the X Factors.
Oh, so it is an, that's where you bring the X.
It is an espresso.
I thought it was his accent, but you started.
See, what they drink used to be a presso.
And now it's not.
Now it's an espresso.
Is it used to be.
All right, MA3. Look at Melbourne go here.
MA3... wild. Like, what can you say about what the fuck's happening right now in MA3?
We've said it previously on the pod that obviously that's where Melbournean disc golfers live. And if we look at the eruption right now, that's where Melbourne disc golf is living.
Yeah, we got it covered. Max Tats at in front, plus 20. Ash Wiener just behind him, plus 21. Kyle Herbertson there in plus 24. I cannot remember who I said it to today, but I was pretty strong in my words, and I'm standing by him. If Max Tats, Ash Wiener, and Kyle Herbertson are the top three in MA3, I do not respect anyone else in that division. No, surely I jest. Max is up and about, and Ash. Ash took a birdie on that first par five today. I sixed it, and I really thought about that a lot. But that's tough. It was playing tough. Did you birdie that first par five today?
I missed my putt.
Anyone else? Anyone up to the house? Did you get a birdie on hole seven today, that first par five?
I had a 9-meter
Robbo putt got it.
That I could have gone for. But
downwind.
I laid it up.
There you go. Rob?
It was the only hole that was downwind. I did birdie that.
Bang.
Par five, first par five.
I missed the putt.
Maddie missed the putt. So
and now that went part from Circle Edge.
Well, Ash Wheaton got it. It impressed me. I was quite impressed. Ash. I had a Circle's Edge putt for par, and I bitched out.
We've got a little Ryan Deere story about that hole, actually.
Yeah, we got a Ryan Deere story. Let's get the mic over to the man himself.
Low light for Ryan Deere, by the way. Yeah, off the tee in Tower when we're going about 180. I don't know. This kid throws an absolute mile.
Checks out.
Second throw, by the way, he throws 180. Kalen Borg hit first available tree. Yet before Kalen had even got to his disc, old mate, fantastic caddy. I would say, the way he would stand out there. I hope to one day call him Ryan Buck, but at the moment he is an absolute doe. Refers to himself as...
Dear.
Longest drive ever. Was standing by his lie before someone who hit first available was ready to throw. Anyway, proceeded to then throw his second shot way out of bounds. His third throw way out of bounds. Miss a bogey putt and take a double on that. That's my no light. His spotlight then threw the biggest nuke into a headwind and was 6 meter parked for eagle.
Well, on the next hole, on hole eight.
The hole eight.
Gross.
Talked himself out of it and took a birdie.
Ryan Doe. I like that. That might have to stick.
That's sticking like glue.
I do like that. Ryan Doe. All right, we'll get back to the MA3 action. I don't know, we got sidetracked there, but we do love it.
Quick shout out, Jason Wiener, Mr. Consistent. I obviously pride myself on Mr. Consistent, as you can see from the event this weekend. And Jason Wiener, +20, +20.
Big. We'll have to also give a shout out to Reese Circuit, 100-ish rating points higher round two than round one. I must admit it's because he was about 100 rating points below his rating round one, but he brought it back, strong second round, and now he's all the way up to last place.
Yeah, he was up and about too. So TD of the year, obviously, formally. So up and about in his disc golf scene.
Is there anyone else standing out here that you think should be higher, should be lower? We had Alex Young Jackaway winning this, and I'm looking at him in 11th place, +28, 8 strokes off. What are we expecting him to rally?
Oh, I don't know. He's a little back. What about Buckets Farina? He was one of your trollers, wasn't he?
Yo, I had him winning for sure. Easy win. You gave me 10. I didn't understand that. He's a fucking weapon. He's sitting 27, only 7 strokes back. That's nothing. He's probably got it. It's probably the favorite.
Yes, correct.
Probably the favorite. All right, we'll have a check out on FA2 and just Melbourne getting it done again.
Mm.
Anita Weber, she is, I'm going to say home.
Home. I love that. Yes.
Home.
Correct.
6 strokes clear of Kate Elridge. Might as well be 16. Home. They won't catch her. She is, she's a jet. She's out in front.
That's my tip. How's your tip going?
My tip, I went with Margaret Trowell because she's a winner. And yeah, she's winning hearts.
She's winning hearts and minds.
But she's not podium. Them. Nah, she's out there having a crack. Kate Eldridge there in second though, doing tons of work as a spotter as well after a round. So getting out there early and then spotting. What do you reckon, Jono? Is she going to rally? She's got 6 strokes behind Anita. Can Kate rope in young Anita Weber?
Look, let's see. I'm not sure. Kate's local girl, Mount Gambier girl. She's got a big arm on her when she's on. Hasn't been playing very well recently. I'd like to think Kate can claw it back in a non-windy situation, but Anita's playing really well, and she's getting better and better. So I'm not sure if Kate can catch her. I think I'll probably back Anita as well.
And what about Anna? We haven't seen her playing too much this golf, but she is way, way, way off the pace, and that's not where we're used to seeing her.
No, Anna's getting consistent. She's had some good coaches along the way and getting her form up to scratch, can waver a little bit. So I don't think she's very good in the wind. I think the wind will make a big difference with Anna. So maybe needs another coach, I guess.
Maybe more coaching sessions.
Fair enough. MA2, big Melbourne division. That's what we're here for. This is the fattest Melbourne division we've got. And Henry Arnold out in front.
Let's go, Henry.
local Melbournean, yeah. He's where's he? Stony Creek?
Yeah, Stony Creek.
Stony Creek local, Henry Arnold.
Can you be both a child and the biggest sandbagger in the event?
Well, he is by far the highest rated. Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, like
checks out.
Looks like
first round, a little off the mark, but a plus two today in some suboptimal conditions. 975 rated, if you don't mind. Might have actually been an even today.
Correct.
Plus two yesterday.
Correct.
975 rated. Pretty hot going. Gets him all the way up into first place. But another
couple of our boys on the lead card though.
Yeah, Brett Siebel was number one man after round one.
Correct.
And he's done enough. He's done enough to stay in touch, lead card. And Honeyman also right there with him. What about who else we got? Kaelin and Narada? What are they up to?
Well, never mind about Kaelin and Narada, but we've got Fraser. Fraser's second spot before your boys. Fraser, an Adelaide guy, playing a lot, getting a lot better.
Never heard of him.
No, he's great guy, good guy, and playing really well. So Fraser's one to keep your eye on coming up.
Well, he shot even today, so just the cool nine strokes ahead of me. That's it's pretty tidy.
Narada, you wanted him to podium, yes?
I think you need him to podium, right? Is that what we went with? Oh, no, I need him to podium. He is plus 18, and where's third place at?
Plus 5.
Sweet. So just like a neg 7 tomorrow, and he's in it.
He's in it?
He's fucking in it.
Up to his eyeballs. So that's a ring-a-ding-ding for the guarantee.
While we're here, though, we had, what's his name? Kaelin Haramis. Beating or getting beaten by both of the children. We've seen Henry at the top of the division, so he's clearly not beating him. But Joe Paul, we touched on earlier, who is on a plus 17, and Kaelin is on a plus
14.
So currently getting it done. But if Hole 2 has anything to say about it, I feel like Joe Paul is fine.
What we heard a stat of Kaelin today. How do we get to it? Because I would love to share that stat with you guys, because only you and I got to hear that stat. Kaelin, how do we get to stats?
You'll have to let me know what it is. Oh, no. So Kaelin, he's got the stats for MA2. I don't know how he fucking did it. But,
it's on the app somehow.
But he has a 25% birdie rate at this event. He has birdied 25% of his holes this weekend. And he is sitting, plus 14 in eighth place in MA2.
Yeah, nine. That's nine birdies through two rounds. And he is not minus nine.
30-something odd bogey rate, doubles and triples adding on to that. And what's 4 plus 6?
A lot of throws.
Because that's what he took on hole two. Hole two is murdering the man. 9 round one and a 10 round two. The hole's hard, but it ain't that hard. What have you shot on hole two this weekend so far, Jono?
Took a par yesterday and a bogey today.
What does that add up to in total?
That would be a 9.
And that is what Kaelin got in his best day.
He's trying
real hard. No, we jest on the kid because that's terrible, but that's fine. One thing we need to touch on before we leave, this could easily be a not light, but I won't. We've seen plus 16 be the, sorry, not plus 16, 16 be the worst score on hole 18 of all time. So not just this weekend. Camille had the record last year. At 14, and he hit it again this year at 14. A couple others might have hit 14, but Shawnee Freeman in MA2 took a 16. I have already slammed him pretty hard on the Parked Media stuff, so I won't get into that. But we do need to look at Sebastian Gutierrez's final hole, hole 18. He also took a 16. And not how you'd think. So everyone else who takes the big, big, big number just empties their bag in some sort of false sense that they can make the island.
With a shitter disc.
With a shitter disc. Like, this is my number one disc, the one I'll definitely get over with, and then you lose it. And then you're six discs later, like, nah, this one might.
Each one of which you've decided to re-tee instead of walking down to the water.
Exactly.
And take your shot. Next shot.
That's not Seb. He did not do that. He had three cracks at the island. I think two from the tee. One, he went down to the water's edge. After he didn't make it, he said, let's just do the sensible thing and play around. I cannot remember the exact details, but it was something like OB off of that shot and then pitch up and then OB again and then putt that hits a cage and OB again and then a couple more best putts. Rough. He took 16 the hard way. He took 16 the hard way. Worth mentioning.
Impossible not to mention.
Impossible not to mention.
But looking back, jumping back to the top of the MA2 field, we do have Henry in first, and leading by two strokes is Fraser. Henry's still a young guy. He's still got a lot of mental game and mental struggles. He's honing them in, but my tip for tomorrow is I think Fraser's going to claw ahead of Henry and take the win.
Oh, big. Hey, what about you, Chris?
I'm backing in Honey.
Backing in the Honey Man?
Yeah.
I got Narada. He'll probably win it from here. He fucking better.
All right. Let's get to MA50.
Yeah, what are we looking at?
Where's Reese this weekend?
Reese who?
That name. Wish Wish Nish 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 Nish.
Reese Wiz?
Yeah.
I don't know.
His dad's here and his dad is dominating. Currently leading MA50, shooting comfortably above his rating. Three ahead of Cansey, and four ahead of our guy Van Linen.
Are you confident with Wisniewski being father son combo?
You just
running with that?
Who knows another Wisniewski at the table? That's definitely his dad.
Fair enough. But yeah, Mike's right there in striking distance. Nick Hall was my pick. He's 10 back, so I think I'm riding him off. But what do you reckon? We're going to be Mike four strokes. Can he get it done?
Maybe.
Well, what about any Adelaide locals? We've got James Arnold there. Is he any chance, Jono?
Hey, Jimmy's got some great rounds in him when he throws them. So 10 strokes in one round. Maybe just out of reach, I think.
No good. Good to see a few others arrived. Hank Terpstra here chilling out as well, hanging on hole 18, watching the chumps roll in. Paul Barbagello too, good seeing them out there. Diamond Dan Hartley. So a good crew. But yeah, I feel like it's probably only a three-horse race at the moment.
Agreed. All right, let's get through a couple more divisions. I'm getting keen on cornhole. MA40? Who's that guy? He looks like a... Is that a silhouette I see?
It's a silhouette. He looks famous. We picked it.
We did. We definitely did.
I feel like I've seen him on something before.
You've seen him on everything before.
Cease and desist.
I said it earlier in the week. When I see Paul Arden on the list, I tip Paul Arden. And he is, it's only two strokes ahead of Lee Thompson and the resurgent J. Ross. Ever since I wrote him off completely, he is a new man. And he's actually been slandering me pretty aggressively every time I see him on the course, actually. my shaved head looks remarkably like his now, and he's let me know that it's not the best look.
Nah, you are definitely catching up on that front. Where is your front?
Where is my front? What do you mean?
Nothing, just a hairline joke.
Got it. Stiff.
Hook, line, and sink.
Yeah. Got to give John Schlobom a shout out because he's playing shit. And I just want to do that. But yeah, nowhere near it.
Nah, and it's tough. It's tough going. The course is playing so tough, but I do see. This is crazy. So Paul Arden, birdie free. Let's check round one. Round one, he got some birdies, but today, absolutely birdie free. But scroll down a little bit. You've got Omar and Daniel Marks sitting in 9th and 10th respectively. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
No.
Turkeys.
No.
Turkeys.
No way. What the fuck? What holes is that?
They are holes 16, 17, 18 for Omar.
No.
It's what happened. And Daniel Marks 15, 16, 17.
No way. Is anyone here on the table got a turkey this weekend?
No way. Not on those three.
On Eddie?
No.
Nah, definitely not.
Jesus. Well spotted by you, Chris. That's wild. Yeah, that's a good spotlight, Ed, not all in one, because there are no chance of winning. And also done something that I'm not going to do this weekend.
Never.
All right, we'll check out the FA1. We said Georgia Carroll, and it's Georgia Carroll.
It is.
She is, what's my math there, 13 points clear, strokes even, of Alice Rendell, and she's not giving them up.
No, and comfortably above her rating, which is all you can ask for. Keep it going, Georgia.
Keep it going.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to back in Alice.
Well, that's dumb of you.
Alice, nah, she can play. She can play some golf. She just needs to stop doing poor things.
You reckon she's clawing 13 strokes back tomorrow?
No.
What's that? Oh, yeah, we skipped FA40. Sorry about that. Sue Donnelly is 9 out in front of Tanya Bihan. Going to be tough work there. Christy Howell's thought. I haven't even seen her this weekend, but she's up and about with 76, fair bit back. So it's probably a two-horse race, and one horse has a significant head start, yep. I would suggest.
Firm grip.
Firm grip. FA1, what are we looking at? Christos? Oh, we just did that.
We were just there. We're now up to the big dogs in MA1.
Well, that's me, right? Yeah. Am I winning?
You must be.
I must be winning.
At least chase card?
No, lead card. Surely.
Nah, third card?
Third card?
Nah. There we go. You're top of your card.
I am, yeah. I'm a big time guy.
You are a big time guy.
I'm a big time guy. Yeah. Now, right there in the middle for me, which is not so ideal. Cade Ashton, who was playing MPO for a while, but was shit at it, so he dropped back down. And I respect that. I've been encouraging you to do that for quite some time.
I'll take you up on that very shortly.
Quite some time.
Can someone jump from MPO to MA3, though?
Wow. I don't want a podium.
You wouldn't.
Because I wouldn't.
Now, Cade's there out in front, but it's close. Penn had the lead going into hole 18. Lands in the hazard, which is understandable, and throws his shot up, lands, stands, rolls. But he hits the big boy putt from circle's edge out of bounds. Boom. Saves the 5 and keeps it within one stroke. Cade birdies. Birdies 18 to take the lead. So a 2 versus a 5. Penn was well and truly in the box seat. But that's what happens on hole 18.
And Hayden was on +3 until hole 18. And he threw a 3 over. So he would have been right up there with Cade.
Oh, yeah. That lead card was doing some sad things. And Penn charged his way up. But, yeah, right there in it still. Tim Davies, one of the most reliable men in the game. Also right there. And
Troy Faramond up 10 spots today.
10 spots. He took a +1. All you got to do is not get raped and you will dominate. Yeah. Big time moving up into chase card. Any other big names? We see Matt Hill just chilling there right in that irrelevant zone.
I'll tell you what gets an honorable mention for me is Andrew Young-Jackaway. He's I think he started about this time last year. He was playing MA3, clawed his way up to MA2. Had two great rounds. He's not the top four, but keep an eye out.
Yeah, two 950 rated rounds. That's normally doing a lot in MA1, and he's thereabouts.
How is our mate Camille?
Camille. So dead last in MA1, which standard. Like we expect that. But after round one, through 17 holes, I think he was sixth out of 26. Hot round. Plus three is pretty good going. And then proceeds to throw a fucking 14 on hole 8. Cam. What are you doing? He backed up the very last round he played at the Eruption last year. He took a 14 on hole 8 and he's backed it up with another 14 in hole 1. Fortunately enough, he was right by me. He was the card ahead of me today. And I talked him into taking the left-hand route. I was like, you're a lefty. Just fucking throw a baby little hyzer over there and then another one and take a par. And that advice paid off really well because he only took a 7.
He's plus 31 through his last 19 holes.
No, is that real?
That is real. He went plus 31 for his last 19 holes.
Oh, gosh.
Or plus 30, thereabouts.
Damn. Yeah, no, he's firmly entrenched in that. Jake Arms and Broden Sherratt. I played with them today, and they entrenched themselves down there with it. It was tough to watch. Is that the best way to describe it, Jono?
Oh, they just like throwing over chalk lines, I guess. That's Broden liked tickling the left side of the chains and didn't like centre at all, apparently, which was reflected in his 3 hours of putting practice after the round today.
Myself, I find right in the middle. A tale of two nines, I guess, both days. So front nine yesterday, pretty good. And then I got to about hole 14 and I just couldn't throw straight anymore. Don't understand what happened, but that's when the big numbers started coming in. And then today, hole one, hole two and five just took my lunch. A couple poor decisions, couple bad throws. And I was well behind the eight ball, but a very solid back nine put me into real mediocre.
So your double espresso didn't help on hole one?
The double espresso didn't help on hole one, but I think I might make it a triple tomorrow.
Yes.
I think I might make it a triple tomorrow.
All right. Are you done with MA1?
Well, we've got Jono here. How did your round go or your tournament go so far, Jono?
Oh, I'm just not very good. I mean, there's not a whole lot of other ways to say that. No birdies for me yet. Today's round.
Four. That's rough.
Isn't it? Today's round can just be put down to two things, I think. Just poor disc choices and thinking that I was much better than I am. So running things I shouldn't have been.
Sometimes I wish we had view on this. Gareth's face when he's having a look at it, I'm assuming Jono's scores to find out that he is birdie-free, was pretty priceless. what were we going to move on to there, Chris?
Story of the day with a bullet is in MP40.
Hit us up.
This is outrageous. Outrageous. So we have a clubhouse leader in MP40, in none other than, I'm going to say, the second best MP40 player in Australia.
Finney, then him?
No. Burr.
Oh, sorry. Rubes. Yeah.
Rubes. Johnson. Bad. And then the Gulf Daylight. Of Mexico. Anyway, just... absolutely, just making that well known to the rest of the country, just in case people haven't been paying attention for the last 7 years. Ryan Johnson drops down a -5 in a tornado on one of the hardest courses in Australia.
Crazy. Bogey free?
No, Not bogey free, just a truckload of birdies. Bogeys two, which is as you would do.
Standard.
And then bogeys five, which standard. We've already agreed is a par five. So, yeah, essentially bogey free.
Crazy. What does neg five rate out there today in that wind?
1029.
Bang. He's a firm, well, not a firm lead, but three over Hector Dykow.
Correct.
Nailed it. Fucking good at last names. So he's got three strokes over him and six over Chris Villa, and no one else is even remotely relevant in the division. Two blokes under par. There's only like eight people maybe under par for the day. So huge. And an egg five. Hot. Was that the hot score of the day?
Yep.
Yes. Excellent. Big ups to Ryan Johnson there. Let's see. What happened after hole seven? Is that when his round really kicked off?
Yeah. I mean, it kicked off from hole one. But sure. The back nine was elite. Hole seven
looks like he was five down on the back nine. Jono found one of his discs at the snake pit hole. I had a look at the scores. I said, "Oh, we will see him at hole eight tee off in a minute. Let's just grab it and bring it around." We brought that disc to him, and it looks like it's really changed his whole day.
I think I've a large part to play in that success story.
Yeah, 100%. He was even. That's where all your birdies went.
I might ask Skip to fucking borrow that disc.
So well done, Jono, on Ryan Johnson's next five.
So good, Jono. Well done.
Thank you, guys.
Michaela getting it done in FPO. Look forward to playing with her tomorrow.
Yeah, she's actually playing quite well. I'm very impressed. That first round was very good. She slipped a little in this second round. But, yeah, I think that round three, I think she might give you another touch-up, Chris.
I've got no doubt about it.
All right, FPO, this is the big one. This is where all the money's at, and I see your name right at almost the bottom, Chris. Almost the bottom.
I'm getting wind of potentially two DNFs in this division.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing Matthew Norbert's name, I'm seeing Paddy Robinson's name, and I don't see tee times next to them. And in my book, I'm saying that you've got a win so far over Matthew Norbert and Paddy Robinson.
Yep. I've now got a few against Paddy.
You
now,
are very good at getting wins over Paddy when he DNFs.
Yeah, I've never beat him when he's finished the tournament, but that's another one. Just chalk it up.
Chalk it up. 2,000 plus rated rounds for Paddy, gets rolled by Chris. What are you going to do?
That's my story. That's your story. That one time.
Well, we had a chat with Paddy on the way up. The wonderful audio that we had on our pod, it was much cracklier in the Paddy interview. So we had to cut that. Sorry, Paddy. But he did tell us that he has a not that late Sunday night flight out of Melbourne to get over to Team Worlds. And I can only assume that him being in fifth place means that that is tough to get back in time. So
100% has to be. Well, as soon as he told us, we were like, you haven't done the maths yet.
Yeah. So I think he has turned his chance of winning this tournament over for the good of Australia. And we can only applaud him for that. Thanks,
buddy. That's why I selected him.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you.
Well done, Chris. No one else would have seen that one coming.
Me and John are doing things.
All right, we've talked about you at the bottom. We've talked about Paddy who's pulling out. Who is actually relevant in this division?
So a couple of Aussies and a couple of internationals, and they're all in it. So only two shots separates the top four. And, yeah, you've got Casey from Canada sitting in the league, neg eight. Then you've got the two Aussies in Blake and Jade sitting at neg seven. Followed by Stanislas Aman from Roland's backyard.
Poland, Roland? No. Am
I making that pretty up? Sure they're Austrian.
Austrian. But my bad. Poland, Roland. Austria. And then Ville. I'm starting to see some Melbourneian names there. Ville, Leo, Ryan Michelle, Aiden, Tim Bohan. What the fuck? What are they all doing in that top 10?
Looking to make some cash.
Big time. Leo there is having a very nice round. Ville made some moves today. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Representing the Doe, not currently inside the cash line.
No, he's letting us down a little bit. But hopefully he can get it done. I had, when we called them earlier in the week when we were driving up, Aiden sent us a message and he said, if you haven't done your throttle's guarantee yet, put that guarantee out that I will destroy Ryan Hart, Ryan Deere even. He said that he has a 0% chance of beating me. What's the stroke differential at the moment?
Between those two is four. Four. Aiden's sitting on the good side of that.
Aiden's looking like a smart man right there. I should have taken him up because mine's looking a little sketch.
You accidentally dropped Ryan Hart's name there.
I did drop Ryan Hart's name. He had a round today.
And a round yesterday. I feel like we almost need to talk about both of them.
100%. I don't think anyone here was on his card yesterday, were they? So we can just talk a little bit about the scores. We weren't there firsthand, but what did his scorecard look like yesterday, Chris?
All you need to know is he... I don't know because my phone's glitching. I'm
ten birdies.
Yeah, he shot even. And two quad bogeys.
An eagle. Eight birdies. And managed to shoot even. Unfortunately today, he forgot the fucking eagle and the rest of the birdies. Because he went plus whatever. Though.
Well, Gareth, you were on his card today. He had some blowouts yesterday. But it seems like he had a few more blowouts today. What happened?
Oh, it hurts me. Even now. He has got so much potential that I think it's hard for him to control. You can throw a mile. He has the pressure of throwing a mile. And he wants to throw a mile. Whereas if he just played with three discs, I think he would beat everyone. And just learned how to control that power and mind, first of all.
I think Maddie's head just got a little bubble just then.
Yeah, yep. It's so it all started on hole two when he's edge of circle, so 11 meters, and he's eyeing up a putt and my head already drops. I'm like, there is a left or right, 1,000 miles an hour. Why are you running this? As we all laid up, it was just horrific. And then he proceeds to just throw it straight past the basket and 11 meters on the other side. And I just knew that it was like, if he doesn't drain this, it's going to be a funky round. And
Wait, can you just leave me out?
It wasn't that bad. and then thankfully he hits the cage and... he drops in for a six, but his head was down. And I just do not understand why after it's 1,000K wins, right to left, which is the worst putt ever, and he thinks he can make it. If he just laid it up, played smart, that would have set a different course today, I think. And then proceeding to throw literally a mile into the middle of like hole four's fairway, it was so far. There was a left or right. I just don't think he knows his discs because he just throws too far. There was a clear left or right wind. He pops this thing up and it just went straight for hole four's fairway. And it was just ridiculous. And then he's just like clapping his hands as if like, what happened? I'm just like, what do you mean what happened? You just threw 1,000 miles out of bounds. Like, so yeah. This choice is a bit of an issue with him, but he just got his head down. There was no need. He had a poor upshot. Again, sent it straight past the basket, and his head was down. Luckily, he got a birdie on the next. I'll just give you a little build-up, and then I'll go straight into the next. He got the birdie. He was upset with that birdie.
He was upset with his birdie?
Yeah, he... he hit a tree like he was going for the eagle. Like he hit the line. It didn't pop up like he wanted to. He got like 30 meters away, no, maybe 25 meters away from the basket, and was so annoyed that he had to pitch around. So then I knew his head was gone. And anyway, he had a lovely little pitch up. He got the bird, and then proceeding the next four holes was just a disaster after disaster after disaster. Again, hole five, just poor choices.
Double bogey.
Yeah, double bogey. And then five, six.
Double bogey.
Double bogey. And then seven was, he's got an arm.
Ashwin birdied seven.
He did. So he threw.
Rob birdied seven.
An awesome drive. Probably about 120 meters. He went that high turnover gap, which was just insane. He still hit it 120 meters, but hit a tree and was pretty upset.
Halfway
so,
there.
Yep. So me as his guardian was like, how do I get this boy back on track? Like, you know? And trying to give him positive words here and there. And he proceeds to throw a very good shot. And he was looking at the birdie and was like, yep, great. This is going to get him back on track. And then is it straight into OB. Continues. Let's not go. It's a number 11. we won't go there. It was so hard to watch. Even Marcus Bellotto was screaming at him. And yeah, it was tough. But what so I want to get from this.
After
the,
two, he was looking at a birdie up, chance.
A birdie chance, yeah.
And he takes 11.
He takes 11. It's just some wild putting from a youngster who doesn't know when to lay up and has not got that ability. Like, it's amazing. He's going to shoot probably the first 1,100 round, but also the first 700 round. In the MPO division. But after that, like, he got his head together. It was tough. It was tough for a youngster. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, settle down with a double bogey on the next one.
Yep. Yeah. He reined it in a little bit. It was just tough. And then he got on the brighter side of life then and just like, what the hell? There's one more round. Just trying to coax him through it. Be like, just take your time. And it didn't happen. You know, there was proceeds four different holes, plus one over those four holes. And then just came a crazy streak of, that is Ryan Hart. And it was just like shots out of nowhere. His form got together. His confidence was back. He was hitting his putts, and he was just shooting some amazing lines. He did get lucky on 15. Hit a tree because he was going for the eagle, so he was still in power mode. It didn't flip once again, but he hit a tree, stayed in bounds, and got the bird. That kept him good. 16. He got the bird. Oh, actually, I'm gonna go back here. Where's the tall basket?
Tall basket is 11.
11. This should have been the start of his birdie run because he put it to the edge of bullseye.
Tough shot. That's a good shot.
And missed the putt. So
tough putt. Well, shit putt.
Yep. He missed the putt. It was that should have been. So what I'm trying to get to is the kid's got so much potential.
Mm.
It is unreal. And that, to be honest, should have been birdie from there on.
It gets 13 through 16. That's a pretty tough stretch. That 13's a tough one. Long, hit that gap between those trees. 14, the snake pit. If you've ever played Eruption or the Gambia course, you know that hole kills people. 15, pretty treacherous. And 16, no easy one either. Pretty tidy stretch.
Well, the snake pit, he was only 6 meters away. So that was like...
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. So I've got good things and bad things about him. He's got to get his mind set and not take it to heart early on. Oh, heart, literally. And the kid's got so much potential. If he just sorts it out...
Anyway, the good news is he's still beating Chris Saxby, which is more than I can say for myself.
Just before we jump off, Ryan Hart, what happened on hole 18, Gareth?
What did he throw on the tee?
This kid. It's a hole 18 for the people playing at home. Water carry. It is 120, I believe, to the pin and about 110 clear. of the Out of Bounds water. And so he goes to his trusty...
Luna. He was tossing up between Luna and the Zone.
The Zone would have been dumber. What the fuck?
I believe Blake threw a zone today.
Blake threw a zone. Jeez, these kids are dumb. They're so dumb. So surely that short doesn't make it with a Luna, yeah?
Well, so this is where he's playing smart. He's picking his right discs, but sadly that young power that he has just went long.
OB long. He throws at 130 meters easy into the bushes with the Luna.
Disgusting.
It's disgusting. And he turned to us and he's like, "What can I throw then?" I'm like, I don't know.
I offered him my Berg. and he might throw that tomorrow.
I don't know. It's gross. It's gross. All right, what else we got in this division? We'll check out the people in our house. Gareth, you are in plus 12, 16th spot. Striking distance of that cash zone, right? What gets the cash zone? Oh, maybe not. It drops off.
Definitely not.
Now that I have a look at it, there's a handful of people under par, and then there's a handful that go from even to plus 6. And then it drops off pretty aggressively after that to Aussie D at plus 10. And you and a host of others well out of it after that.
Obviously, we've already mentioned myself in the house, but they're dominating the house situation in MPO. It's none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Robert Reeves. Plus 2 today.
Plus 2. Plus today, 2. Boys.
Going under tomorrow?
No. Mine is even. Absolutely not. The goal is even. No, under is not a question.
Even will probably get you cash.
I thought so.
I think so.
I believe so too.
Well, even each day would have, but even from now, I think we'll get you into the cash.
Yeah, agreed. Unfortunately, I have to play with Gareth, but that's all right.
Oh, that means you got Aussie D in your card as well.
Fantastic.
No, oh, that's right. He's always good value.
Yep, finally a new person on the card. I've been with Ryan Doe.
I might have to give Ryan Doe. I just got to give someone a shout out. It's a hole 18, Aussie D. He's not having his best round. He gets up there. He grabs two discs already because he just assumes he's throwing one of them in the water. He turns to this guy in the crowd. He's like... just not feeling it. I got the two. I'll probably throw it in. This guy's like, nah, man, you're a fucking Aussie D. You're a jet. You'll be fine. Throws the one in the water. 1 second later, gets the second one, throws it straight in the water, goes straight to the bag, grabs another one, turns to this guy, and he says, "Alan, I need some advice. What do I do here? How do I get in?" I said, "Oh, mate, easy. Just throw it a little better.
Wise man.
Just throw it a little better." He was not far off. I was just like, if you just do what you did, but like a little better, in.
The other coaches at the table are shivering right now.
And then what he does is he steps up and fuck, he threw it a little better. Put that right on the island. So yeah, you're welcome there, Aussie. Big shout out, Al. Nice coaching.
Well done.
Any other notables we got in the MPO before we move on? Were we expecting more from Casey Hanemeyer?
Oh, I've got some insider scoop. Lives at elevation. Has come down to Australia with his bag. A bunch of flippy discs. Did not warm up much in preparation for the event. Yesterday was a bit haywire. Made some adjustments to his bag. And obviously shot a higher rated round today.
Been saying that he's a 10-17 rated player. He's shot a 10-11 and 10-15. He's thereabouts. I think he's doing what he's meant to be doing. I think Blake's just putting together some good disc golf. So 1,004, 10-15 rated rounds, 2 over 1,000. Normally when you play Australian disc golf and you get 2 over 1,000, you win. So we got a ring-a-ding-ding. I'm really looking forward to it. Many guys right in it. Well, probably only four now that Paddy's pulled out. I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to the coverage.
Casey wasn't very welcomed onto the 18th green this afternoon, though, was he?
Nah, that was pretty funny. I'm sitting at the tee box, the hole 18. He does not make the island after canning the eagle. Pretty comfortable eagle.
OB, 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 OB.
Proceeded by JB, 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 to then park it and birdie out. So my money is on Jay Brady to take this out.
There you go. The Aussie fans letting Casey know it and giving Jade Brady the love. Chance coming from the gallery of hole 18, and we're here for it.
I'm here to chant top five forearm in the NBL as well. He's tried it twice now on 18. Has he had a look for birdie yet?
Yeah, we better have a look at Leo. We put it out there on our socials today. He's clearly top five hat thrower in Australia.
Easily top five hat thrower in Australia.
But he took the snake pit in round one, didn't get it in round two. I'd asked him at the dinner last night, I said, what do you throw on hole 18? Because the number one play to throw on hole 18, if you have a solid forehand, is the forehand. He said, oh, of course, I go straight to it. Turns out, juiced it round one, OB long. I'm watching him round two, shorts it. So he may have the talent, but if you cannot apply it. I'm sitting here with Rob, and Rob, do you think you have a top four, top five forehand in Australia?
Absolutely not.
Did you make the island? Did you make the island two out of two times with a forehand?
Two out of two. Two from two.
I've got a better question about Rob's sidearm.
Please do.
Did you clear Little Blue Lake with an Ultra Star sidearm today?
It landed in Hazard, but I cleared the entire Little Blue Lake with a Ultra Star sidearm. Well, top five side up, couldn't throw a backhand over it, in a tailwind. And his mate, the receiver, proceeded to let everything drop into the lake.
We will give some shout-outs, though. We went to Little Blue Lake before and after our rounds today. It's a cool little sinkhole with some pretty aggressive cliffs. I'm going to say, 75 metres tall? No. How tall the cliff? 10?
15?
Just a bit over, probably about 12, I reckon.
12 metre tall cliffs.
Maybe
10. Yeah, we'll say 12 metre tall cliffs, and eventually...
I tripped over, and it felt like...
We had a few of the boys in the house take them on, no problems. We had Gareth and Jono, and I can't think of fucking right now, Rob... jump in, no dramas, and Chris and I were applauding him profusely.
Yes.
But eventually Leo jumped in as well, and so did Kaylin. So big props for the boys for taking that on, and it was a fun time. I'm glad they came out. It was nice. Water was cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Just don't drink the water.
You might shoot minus five.
What we're hearing is that Ryan Johnson went into those waters and drank them for their... wonderful mineral healing qualities, and then shit his pants.
I don't know what you guys doing tomorrow.
All night.
For a swim and a drink.
And a drink.
But then he did shoot -5, so maybe we've got it all wrong. All right, that seems like it. Does anyone else have any recaps we need to do before we do a little bit of spotlight, not lights to close it?
Nah, I'm ready to go.
You got any spotlights or not lights for us, Chris?
Let me get started with a... spotlight. Round one.
You have a spotlight of yourself?
For a round, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Managed to play so poorly that it will not affect my rating. Well done, Chris Rollins.
Well done, Chris Rollins.
Oh, dear.
There you go. What about you, Gareth? You got any spotlights?
Come back to me.
Come back to anyone else around the table. Got any spotlights? Maddie's here. Maddie's got a spotlight.
Yeah, just want to shout out to a certain scroll queen at Mount Gambier. That's definitely been a spotlight, new discovery for me from the boys. And give it 5 out of 5 scrolls.
5 out of 5 scrolls. Yeah, we did go for breakfast this morning. Cinnamon scrolls added in egg and bacon. Chop a cinnamon scroll in half. Put egg and bacon in it. Give it a little toast maybe.
Yep, a little bit of chili jam.
A little bit of chili jam, and just move on with your day. Like, that's, you don't need to think too hard about that. What about you boys? Going to spotlight and all that? Spotlights?
This is about better. It's not necessarily a disc golf thing, but disc golf makes it happen. Is this house. This house and this crew. Every time we have a great group of people like this together, it's one of the best weekends up there. And it's the eruption and disc golf that brings it together. So my spotlight is social houses like this for disc golf tournaments.
Love it. We got Rob's earlier. His spotlight and not light was both Ryan Doe. And I'm really big on it.
Playing with him again tomorrow.
I'm really big on the Ryan Doe.
I also want to spotlight for Gareth to shoot 8 birdies and then get none today. So I look forward to seeing what happens tomorrow.
So that sounds like a spotlight and a not light all in one. You're getting greedy now, Rob.
Round one, round two.
I was happy that the boys slipped and missed that one. But thanks for bringing it up.
8 birdies. Nobody's going to miss that. But Bogey, how many did you take today?
Way too many.
Birdie free. Even
he was worried about Ryan Hart.
I think we can all agree on this spotlight. Michelle, tournament director of you the bastard. Eruption.
I was just going to do that.
Take over. Definitely take over.
All right. Well, yes. They're obviously good friends, but they always try their hardest to up this competition every single year. And without passionate people and volunteers to make this better every single year, and to overcome tornadoes, councils,
swarms of bees.
And the bees, and also probably with every great tournament comes 10 complaints, to overcome all of those things and put on such a great tournament that they do every single year is the hats off to Michelle, Ryan, and all of the team of Mount Gambier. The amount of work that they put in is just incredible, just because I've seen it firsthand. So that's my
spotlight
for sure.
Nice.
Most professional tournament in Australia.
100%.
Easy.
Not even close.
Yeah.
My spotlight has to go to Jack Sifanos.
Big Sif.
Round one, he throws on hole 17 a bomb. Bomb way down the fairway.
He went deep.
Still
lucky the board weren't stopped in.
Looking tough here. Next shot, it's still tough. But he throws this delicious flip up boy left of the fairway, gets to the right, comes back. He's going past the pin in two shots on hole 18. If you've ever been to hole 17, you know that the OB is tight there. So he snuck it in. He's well inside the circle, putting for that eagle. Let's fucking go, Big Sif.
I'm just going to cut in there. He actually hit a tree to slow him down, to keep him in circle one.
The boy had the pace. So, ridiculous. Yeah, my spotlight goes to Big Sif for his work on hole 17. And my not light goes to Big Sif for fucking one of the easiest parts you'll ever see. 4-5 max. Max. Jesus. It didn't even look close. One of the limpest parts I've ever seen. Barely hit cage. I cannot tell you I've never had an eagle putt, but I can tell you now I'm never going to have an eagle putt with that much limp wrist action. It was fucking hard to watch. Big not light Sif. And he paid $1,000 for the fucking raffle ticket to do the sacrifice to the gods. And Gareth, tell me, where is this landed?
About quarter of the way down.
Quarter of the way down. 400 well spent. Good job, Big Sif. any other not lights?
But wait, I sound like a dick there. But we from up on the mountain, this is everyone. Everyone looked like they threw
very, very far. And then the people down on the ground were like, no, you did not. So that wasn't a dig at Jack, because we generally thought we hit the road. And the people down on the actual road were like, we were in no danger.
Just to be clear, it was a dig from me. I was going negative.
This is a very nice segue into my not light. My not light for this podcast goes to the Glenelg Council. We are getting more stringent with safety regulations and risk management. No, did I say Glenelg Council? I'm just back at home, Mount Gambier Council. We're getting more strict with risk management and safety, and without any prior issues or injuries or mishaps, they've taken away the ability to have spectators from the yearly pinnacle moment of the eruption, the sacrifice of the gods tower throw. Not happy. It takes away from the event. It takes away from the spectators. Watching a live stream isn't the same. Mount Gambier Council.
Sort it out.
Sort yourselves out.
I like that. I got an honourable mention, not light. I know, like, big ups to obviously Michelle and the crew, but let's not lump Ryan Johnson into that. Big ups. He's going to get my honourable mention, not light. And his work that he's done on...
Different Ryan? Ryan Johnson?
Thank you, Nicholson. Thank you for helping me out there. Ryan Nicholson, sorry. Ryan Nicholson has to take my honourable mention, not light, for his work that he's done on hole five. That is not a par four. It's not a par four in any country. It's particularly not a par four in Australia. And it's doing work. It's doing work on people. Thanks a lot, Jono.
No birdies this weekend.
No.
Jono.
And again, I just want to say thanks a lot, Jono. But my actual not light has to go to myself. Obviously, I shot below my rating, bloody standard deviation, rah, rah, rah. Managed to do well yesterday. I've played hole 18 for par twice. Yet to par it. Yet to bogey it. I've double bogeyed it twice.
Oh, no. No way.
Have not thrown it over the water yet.
So you take the Nuke OS line out to the left and then what?
Shit the bed. Spotlight Mark Hardy for his Airbnb shenanigans last night.
Oh, very good. That was very good. Yeah. I love that you're 8 strokes back off second last and you've not lied to yourself for just one hole. Like, all the rest is like, that wasn't that bad. That but fun. Those two doubles I took.
You're killing me.
Any other not lights? Anything else high we can go negative? Oh, that's a bit disappointing.
not a big fan of hole 8. Don't like the changes.
Just the airing of grievances.
Don't like it.
This has been a visionary podcast.
Noun.
Noun. Someone who looks into tomorrow.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.